Hello, I'm Curtis Bowers, and this is Agenda Weekly. Thank you so much for joining me again this week. As you can tell, I'm on the road. I just want to thank all the people in Arkansas that have come to the meetings, the sweet families, the pastors, the different churches, and everything. And so many of you were so kind in so many different ways, hosting us in your home to have dinner or had some gifts and goodies for us. Thank you so much. It was so fun to talk with you and to get to meet your children and everything. Anyway, we had a wonderful time. We want to thank you as we're heading up to Kansas right now. And so as we're traveling along, I'm the only driver in the family because this is a big rig and the kids that are traveling with us are still younger. And so it's tough for me to get all these things together while I'm driving all day and then speaking at night. So I'm going to do my best. But anyway, we've enjoyed our time and looking forward to meeting some of you in Kansas and in Missouri and Oklahoma over the next couple weeks. Today, I'm going to cover a few topics in the news and then get into the lawfare. That is the new choice weapon to crush all opposition, and I'll play some examples of things going on right now. But this is a key thing that they're doing, and they did it in the Soviet Union, and they do it in China, but where they use the judicial system to validate their tormenting citizens by acting like, oh no, a judge sentenced them to jail or whatever, when they didn't do anything at all, and they're redefining what a crime is. The traditional crimes of rape and murder and those type of things, no, those people get let go. But if you're a Christian, you better watch out. If you're praying outside of an abortion clinic, you better watch out. That is a felony, and you are going to prison for as long as we can keep you there. But anyway, thank you for joining me today. Those watching on Rumble, please like and follow. That helps us a lot. And those that are not subscribers to Agenda Weekly, please consider going to agendaweekly.com. And if you sign up there, it's $5 a month, but you get all the different things we provide each week to help save you time in understanding what's going on and what you should be doing to make a difference. But we appreciate you. The first thing I'd like to cover is the bill that just passed the House this last week, the $1.2 trillion bill. And it's discouraging when we thought, oh, we've got a Speaker of the House that loves Jesus and he's speaking the truth, and then they lie to you. And it's like, oh, it's the worst of all. The blackest of all lies is the lie that's half truth. That's the worst. I'd rather it be a Nancy Pelosi in there and have her lie to us and push on through the bill. And we go, oh, that's what we expected. But you don't expect it from the person who, with tears in their eyes, talks about how much they love Jesus and everything. It's disgusting. But in that bill, and they broke the law in passing it because you're supposed to have at least 72 hours to review it before passing. So they just shuffle it through in the night. And that's the Speaker's responsibility. So he was dishonest and deceitful in what he was doing. But of course, there's funding for Ukraine in there, but there's also a lot of funding for the climate nonsense. There's lots of funding for the LGBTQ propaganda to be pushed in our schools, including the promotion of surgical mutilation. That's in the bill that the nice Christian people passed. It empowers the Department of Education even more. It gave all government employees a 5.2% pay raise, and it just goes on and on. But I know that's discouraging. It is. It's the worst of all. You work so hard to get your guys in there, and they've told you, oh no, we're for limited government, lower taxes, and all the buzzwords they use. And then, no, they're pushing through, helping Biden in everything that he does. Really, really sad. The terrorist attacks in Russia. I, being on the road, don't have all the details, haven't had time to dig in, but I think we'll find ultimately something is going on there. You know, who did it? What was the purpose? It was clearly a purposeful act, and whatever the narrative is about it, and it keeps changing a little bit, that I guarantee is not the truth, but it's just, it'll be interesting to see what it is. Another thing coming up next month is the WHO treaty, and that is where it's trying to give the WHO, the World Health Organization, totalitarian-like powers in the event of an emergency. But of course, there's no parameters on what defines an emergency. It could be caused, you know, by the climate or by another pandemic or whatever. And so it's a key strategy, though. If this doesn't make it through at this time, just keep watching for these types of things. Because what it does, it allows the politicians to say, honestly, well, we didn't do that when you have all these totalitarian measures forced on you. Well, that was the United Nations, or that was the World Health Organization. It was a treaty, and we have to do what we said we would do. And, you know, yeah, I'm against it too. It's no good at all. But they don't fight it while it's coming about, but then we're in the middle of it. I want to encourage you also, just in your situational awareness, as we've been traveling now, you can see and feel the illegal immigration all over. So many stores, we were in Walmart, and I'm like, no one is speaking English. And they're definitely people that you can tell they're just different than we are in America. They have different cultures they've come from, cleanliness and everything else. And but they're clearly, they don't know a word of English. So I'm like, well, these are illegals, obviously. No one that is a citizen of the United States cannot speak a word of English, whatever. And anyway, I've just, as that's happening, and we know it's happening, you know, 10 plus million coming in. And there was already between 20 and 25 million illegals here that we know of. I would just, you know, be paying attention where you go. You're back to the wall, scanning a room when you come in. If you sit in a restaurant, sit up in a table where your back's against the wall and you can see if someone came in or whatever. It's just, it's going to get crazy as you bring more and more people in that have come from countries where there is no law and order. There are no rules. It's only the strong survive, and the bullies are the ones in control and everything. So that's their normal thing that they're used to. So they will continue on that life here. And then the big cities are not enforcing the laws, so they're getting away with them. So they realize, okay, it's the same in America. We can do anything we want. But anyway, I would encourage you to have a smart pack with you in your car in case you get stranded somewhere. A pack that has some food, has some ability to start a fire, has some medical things, has a firearm and some ammunition, maybe some tear gas, different things that you have. If your car broke down out in the middle of nowhere, you could put that backpack on and walk to where you're going. Or if there was something really bad going on, you're not defenseless, you're not prepared. You would be prepared to be able to survive and figure out what to do next, and maybe some money in there and different things that you might need to last you a few days in case you got in a really bad situation. You probably saw the videos this week also of the illegal aliens attacking the National Guard that had weapons and just coming and just forcing their way into our country. Well, that's where we are. And I was watching this one video, and I don't know his name yet, but it was an illegal who's here, and he has a huge following on social media. And I just saw a little clip of one of his videos telling him how to squat in houses and take property that's not yours, take control of that property, and they can't kick you out, and how to just abuse the system and everything. But he had over 1 million followers. And so what's happened is we've given them phones. Now they're all connected, and they can use social media to organize resistance if they wanted to. And most of the people coming in, of course, are young males from all over the world, from the prisons, from hostile countries toward us. And again, it just make sure you're paying much more attention than you normally have in the past, because it's just very uncertain. Also, make sure you have alternative ways to communicate with the people who live around you, your family, friends that you love. We were in a state park this week, and we didn't realize when we went there that there was no cell service of any kind and no Wi-Fi. So for 2 days, we were completely cut off, and it was really a weird feeling. You have no way to contact anyone. If you had an emergency, something happened, nope, nothing you can do. And it was pouring down rain and kind of flooding where we were, so we couldn't leave. And anyway, I was like, wow, you need to have alternative means of communication and continue just prepping and working on a sustainable supply line for all of life's essentials and necessities, because it seems like they're setting up the conditions to create the circumstances of total chaos and free-for-all, and we need to be ready for that so we're not caught off guard. Another very interesting story this week is the FDA was forced to take down the ivermectin propaganda they'd put up, talking about how dangerous it was and it's unsafe and it could kill you even using it and all that stuff, because it's one of the safest medications ever created and has saved more lives than almost any medication besides penicillin. Anyway, it made me think about that again, what we lived through with COVID. They were so evil that one of the things that worked incredibly well with COVID, they lied and said it was dangerous to even take it. Not only recommending don't take it, it's not going to do anything. No, it's dangerous if you take that horse dewormer or whatever. It so clearly shows us again, it was purposeful. That's how evil these people are. The one thing that might help you, they literally are saying, no, that's dangerous to take. And they've had to take that down now because everyone worldwide knows, no, that's one of the safest medications ever. And it's really helpful for a lot of different things. I take it regularly, all of us do in our family, anytime we get sick at all, because it knocks out a lot of different things. And it's one of the most wonderful drugs ever created. So now on to the lawfare, which is the new battle ram to crush all opposition. It's what they're using. They're realizing we can tie people up in court. And even if we don't win, we can cost them millions of dollars in legal fees that they'll have to pay regardless, even if they're found innocent at the end. But they've spent years of their life and all their resources and gone into bankruptcy just because we attacked them. And they realize, oh, this is an incredible weapon. And that's what the Biden administration has been doing since the day they took office. But it's accelerating right now, because they have just realized there's so many radical judges in there that they've put in over the years that hate America, hate freedom, hate those that stand against them. They're willing to use those positions to attack anyone for any reason, but never attack those who are criminals, those who are doing what is evil. Watch this clip here. This is a gentleman, Dr. John Eastman. And you've probably heard this story this week, but I love the way he talked about these things. He is a brilliant man, as you can tell from the interview, but he was defending Trump as a lawyer. And now they're suing him personally, and they're taking away his license to practice law. And it's unbelievable, but it's a very clever strategy, and I'll tell you why. But watch him talking about this for a little bit. It's powerful that we're aware of this. Because we might need to be standing up against these things and then definitely supporting these people that are being attacked, because we need to let the other side know that's not going to work. We're not going to put up with this.
Yeah, the recommendation came down about 4:30 Pacific time last night, recommendation that I be disbarred. And the result of that is within 3 days, I note this is coming during Holy Week, within 3 days, my license will be suspended unless the appellate review court issues a stay of that order. But it's 128 pages, and every page, almost every page, has at least one blatant lie on it. I mean, it's just stunning. You know, and she acknowledges that she blocked numerous of our witnesses and much of our evidence, including a major post-election assessment that had been done by a professional CPA named Joseph Fried, who said there's no way this election should have been certified. She prohibited that from coming in. One of the issues, the charges against me, is that by filing a motion to intervene on behalf of President Trump that incorporated Texas's own complaint, that I acted unreasonably as an attorney by incorporating that complaint. We offered into evidence the briefs of six state attorney generals who did exactly the same thing, because the issue is whether any reasonable attorney would have taken the actions I did. She said their briefs are not relevant, even though they did exactly the same thing I did, which demonstrated that reasonable attorneys were taking these actions. She said it was not relevant to the case. Several of the counts against me, you know, include claiming that I made false statements in public, including on your show, Steve. This is such vintage protected First Amendment rights stuff. And she says, well, lawyers aren't allowed to make misrepresentations. Of course, the claims of misrepresentations are themselves false. My favorite of them was one of the charges against me said, I claimed on January 6th at my speech before the lips that dead people voted, which was true. And they acknowledge it in the paragraph. The Michigan Inspector General admitted 1,500 dead people voted. And they said my claim was false. And the judge said it was false because what I really meant by that was more dead people voted than were necessary to affect the outcome of the election. Of course, I never said any such thing. Another example of the falsity that we called them on. They falsely claimed that the D.C. Circuit Court of Appeals had upheld the constitutionality of the Electoral Count Act. That was not true. The issue never even got to the D.C. Circuit Court of Appeals. The case they were citing was the D.C. District Court, which doesn't have any precedential force. And the case didn't involve the Electoral Count Act at all. It involved completely different state election laws. The quotation was doctored to make it appear as though the case said something that it didn't say. We called them on that in a responsive pleading, and yet the judge repeated that doctored quotation as if it was true in her opinion.
Starting in the 1930s, first in Moscow with the Bolsheviks, and then later with the fascists, with the Nazis in Germany, the rule of law and judges, I mean, completely flipped and was as used as probably the key instrument of state power in suppression of people's rights, freedom, and we saw what happened there. You know, you had the Nazi judges and people seeing the black and white newsreels of what they did, and also the Moscow show trials. When we sat there for the 32 days and saw what happened live in court where they couldn't hide, and now you have this report with all these lies and misrepresentations, how are we then to see as citizens that the radical left is going down the same path? We see what's happening to President Trump, but yours in particular, where there's such blatant misrepresentations, lies, and then using procedure against you, sir.
The essence of the ruling is that the government has spoken, and, you know, we said the election was the most secure in history, that there wasn't any evidence of fraud. These are the things that they said. And because I kept offering evidence that there was, I must be lying. This is Orwellian. It's authoritarian. The government has spoken, and you better bow to our claims or we're going to destroy you. This is not the America that we grew up in. This is not the America that our founders bequeathed to us. And by God, I'm going to fight with everything I've got to make sure that we fix this problem before we pass the baton to the next generation.
So they're literally getting these bogus judges to start pushing measures against innocent people. I mean, right now, Carrie Lake is being sued because they don't want her to become a United States Senator from Arizona. Of course, Roger Stone and Michael Flynn and Mike Lindell and Rudy Giuliani and Peter Navarro and all the January 6th political prisoners. This is all the same thing. They're using lawfare because they know they have so many corrupt judges in the system to prosecute, even when you didn't do anything, or to give you a sentence that's 10 times or more what would be a fair sentence, even if you did what you were accused of doing, like the January 6ers. I mean, oh, you were, you know, riotous in the Capitol. Well, that's a misdemeanor. So at the maximum sentence, I think, can be 6 months on a misdemeanor. Well, they're getting 18, 19 years. So, again, it's just totally corrupt. But, of course, it's what they're doing to Trump. But I think they realize how it's hamstringing him and running for office. You're just being bombarded. Every second of every day, you're in court trying to defend yourself of things you didn't do, which is really hard to do, to prove the negative of something. But one key goal is this. As I listened to Dr. Eastman talking and different people, I realized the key of this is it's not only to harass our side where we're fearful and we're like, we better not stand up or they're going to destroy you, but it's to stop lawyers from defending people on our side, because if you do, you'll be disbarred and your whole life will be wrecked. And that's what I think is really at the root of this. That's why they're going after lawyers now. And they're accusing them. What are they accused of? Defending someone that wasn't worth defending. So it's completely flipping everything on its head, but it's really crazy. Now I want to go to one other clip here.
People have gotten so blinded by their visceral hatred of Donald Trump that they can't even see straight about legitimate legal arguments. Whether those arguments would have prevailed or not is immaterial. The question that they were legitimate questions about open matters of constitutional law. And as a lawyer representing a client, I had an obligation to zealously advocate that client, pressing legal theories that had any basis in merit, as mine all did. That the notion that is a disbarrable offense is going to give vindication of the efforts by the 65 Project, one of whose leaders said, our goal is not just to have all these attorneys disbarred, but to make them so toxic in their firms and their communities that right-wing legal talent will never want to take on these kind of legal challenges again. That will clear the path for election fraud and election illegality for as far as the eye can see. And that's what their goal is.
So you see how deceitful this is, that it was purposely premeditated ahead of time, knowing, oh, we're going to need this, because anyone then that tries to expose our fraud, we're going after them, and we're going after them hard. That's what's happened. But then you got this clip, you know, about Bill Barr, who's supposed to be on our side, a total liar. And someone, again, we get betrayed so often because someone will talk about God in a positive way, like a Mike Pence or somebody. And then we think, oh, well, they've got to be good. They're talking about God. And we don't realize they know if they talk about God, we'll be suckers to believe they're telling us the truth when it just hasn't been the case most of the time. But listen to what William Barr did.
Remember Orwell, who 75 years ago this year published 1984. He had the argument right. He had the year wrong. He was 40 years off. But when the government said 2 + 2 = 5, not only are you obligated to repeat it, but you are obligated to believe it. That was the mission. And you were going to be tortured, persecuted by folks from the Ministry of Love if you didn't sign on to the government's lie. That's what we're dealing with here. Bill Barr said without any evidence that there was no evidence of fraud. They didn't do the investigations that he claimed they did. The head of CISA said that this was the most secure election in our nation's history. That was laughable. We had already had evidence at the time that inside the votes had been flipped from Trump to Biden up in Antrim County, Michigan. We've now had audits that show that there is source code where the and this was introduced in the U.S. Supreme Court just last week. Source code in the election software, that the decryption code key was available in raw data without being encrypted. And anybody could go in that had access to the source code, change the results, alter the logs, and then back out. This is the kind of stuff we're dealing with. And the government says, oh, no, don't look at what you're seeing here. It can't be true. And you better bow down to what we're saying or we're going to destroy you.
When we talk about a criminal probe being started, let me go back to Bill Barr to be very blunt and very specific about a guy that's a bald-faced liar. He told the president in the Oval Office, he told people, he's been up publicly, there was no voter fraud at all. He checked, he had the local U.S. attorneys in these districts check. The Epoch Times, 2 years after that, did a freedom of information and contact, was allowed to contact all those field offices with U.S. attorneys. I think 10 of them or 8 of them, 9 of them came back and said there were no report. We did no study. We were not told to do anything and we didn't do it. The only one that didn't was Philadelphia. And we know the U.S. attorney at the time was open and sent a letter to Barr to say, hey, there are major problems in here with these mail-in ballots. We've got a problem. We have to deal with it. And Barr told him to stand down. That's what a bald-faced liar Barr is. John Eastman, we're going to have you back on here. We got your back. You know, we know you got to turn around this document over Holy Week, because trust me, that crowd does not care about Holy Thursday, Good Friday, Holy Saturday, and particularly the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ on Resurrection Sunday, Easter. We know you got to get to work. Eastman, where do we go to find out more about this, and where do people go to have your back, sir?
GiveSendGo.com/Eastman is my legal defense fund website. It's there on the link as well. People can go to that. They get updates, but they can also donate and, as importantly, send prayers, because my wife and I read them and they are heartwarming and we really appreciate it. GiveSendGo.com/Eastman.
Anyway, I love that John Eastman. He's just such a good communicator, and you can just tell he's a noble, honorable guy that is infuriated that things have been twisted, where now the lie is the truth and the truth is a lie. And what he was saying about George Orwell, I agree. In that society, that world of 1984, you had to not only agree that 2 + 2 = 5, but you had to really believe it. Otherwise, you were tortured. You couldn't just go along with it even. You had to truly believe it. And that's the world we're in. But if you want to go to that givesendgo.com/Eastman and help out, give him $5, $10, whatever, and then let him know that you're praying for him. That would mean a lot to him. And we need to be behind these people that are right in the middle of the fire. Because if they get away with this with someone like him, then do you think when they come after you or they come after me, we're going to have the means and the ability to stand up at all? No, we're not. They're just going to crush us, and there'll be no consequences to them crushing us. I think when we hear these type of stories, a lot of times we still naively think, well, I'm not in some big position like that, so it's not going to affect me. Well, there's another story this week from Tucker Carlson where he interviewed Paul Vaughn again and showed to me clearly, fear is the name of the game. They want you terrified of them, and they will attack people, even in America, literally with the charge of praying. And then they will sentence you to a felony conviction when they're letting murderers and rapists and thieves and everything go free every single day all over this country. Thugs, drug dealers, human traffickers. No, just let them go. Just like the police that was killed in New York a week ago or whatever. The illegal immigrant that killed him had been arrested previously 21 times in New York. 21 times, not 2 times, which would be unacceptable. 21 times he'd been arrested, put in handcuffs for something. And when he came before the judge, they said, oh, let him go. He didn't mean it. He'll do better next time. That's where we are. It's been that flip. But someone praying outside of an abortion clinic, you're going in for 11 years. That's where this is going. And so as they legalize all crime, they're criminalizing Christianity. That's what you have to know. If you're a Christian, just know they are doing everything and will continue to. It's not going away ever, because Satan is their commander in chief and he hates Christians. He hates our message, but that's what's going to happen. And I just wanted to play a clip of that for you from Tucker so you can hear what's going on with some of the details, and then I'll start wrapping up with something that I really think will be encouraging to you.
If you watch the news, it seems like the Biden administration is no longer enforcing the law on any level. Everything is legal, effectively. That would include rape and murder and sexualizing children, sex crimes against kids. That would include importing drugs into the country. That would include mass shootings. It would even include a full-scale invasion of the country. Millions of people from foreign countries, most of them men, marching across the border like it's legal. So crimes are no longer being punished. That's the conclusion you might reach, but that's not actually true. There are still crimes. They've just been redefined. The Biden administration is a law and order operation with a very different focus. Here's one example. On October 5th, 2022 at 7 a.m., a man called Paul Vaughn woke up to armed FBI agents with guns banging on the front door of his home in Tennessee. So he steps outside to find agents with their weapons drawn, pointed at him. They promptly handcuffed him and threw him in the back of an SUV. They did this in front of his wife and children. His wife, completely confused, asking why the man she thought was her law-abiding husband was being arrested. What are you doing? And they ignored her and instead hauled her husband off to jail. And by the way, we are not overstating this in any way. We know because she recorded it. Here's part of what happened.
But if you're not going to let me, then I'll just...
No, I want to know why you were banging on my door with a gun. You're not going to tell me anything?
No, they're not.
I tried, ma'am.
No, you didn't.
Yes, I did.
You did not try. This is not acceptable.
Okay,
So there you have it. Stormtroopers showed up at the house with rifles, not just handguns, rifles, weapons of war, battle rifles, the ones that Joe Biden is telling you you can't have. They showed up at Paul Vaughn's house to arrest him. So the question is, what exactly did he do? Was he a terrorist, a serial killer? Was he trying to invade the country? No. Paul Vaughn's crime, Paul Vaughn, the father of 11 children, had dared to pray and sing hymns in the hallway of an abortion clinic. In other words, he did what the Biden administration really fears. He prayed. And for doing that, he faces 11 years in prison. By the way, we're not overstating this. We're not simplifying it in a dishonest way. Those are the facts. Paul Vaughn joins us now, along with his lawyer, Steve Crampton, and we're grateful to have them both. Thank you very much for joining us. Mr. Vaughn, first to you, I just want to make absolutely clear, because I think this is the most clarifying thing that's happened in the last couple of years, that we're not leaving anything out. You are not accused of threatening anyone's life, stealing anything, invading anyone's country. You're facing 11 years in prison for praying and singing hymns in an abortion clinic. Is that correct?
Absolutely correct. My main crime, the day I wasn't arrested by the local police, was charged, and my main crime was I talked to the police and talked to the media.
Your crime is that you talked to the—
That's a crime in Biden's America.
So, do you have a criminal record?
No.
I have so many questions, but one is the way that you were arrested. So you were arrested by people who I think will face long-term punishment for what they did. But FBI agents in body armor with rifles drawn at you. Do you have any history of violence? No assault charges? You've never been arrested for hurting anyone?
No.
Okay.
No, Tucker. I've lived on the same farm for 15 years in a small community. I'm a business owner. We've had a business there serving internet to the community for over 12 years. A simple phone call and, hey, we'd like to talk to you about this event would have brought me to their offices without question.
I can't overstate the contempt I feel for the men who participated in this police state action. Did they show any shame, any evidence of shame when you were in the vehicle with them being toted off to prison in handcuffs?
No, and Tucker, there's four of them. So you got four different personalities, four different background stories and all that. There was one particular one that was completely an arrogant person. You know, when you get in a situation where there's adrenaline and weapons, you want cool-headed people to be there. And there was one particular agent that has no business holding a gun in any kind of official authoritative capacity. And that's what's scary. The others were professional doing their job, which doesn't get them a pass. I'm not giving them a pass, but at least they were controlled and constrained.
Yeah, I wish I knew their names so I could put them on the screen, but I don't. You grew up in this country, I can tell by your accent. Did you ever imagine that your fellow Americans would go along with something like this, would participate in an arms-drawn raid on a man's house for no crime at all?
No, I think you hit the nail on the head, Tucker. That is one of the biggest things I've learned from the whole trial, not just the agents there, but the jury and the prosecutors and everybody in the case. We talk about our national character. And the decline from the 80s, you know, growing up as a kid, riding a bicycle across a small town without any parents and being free to roam the streets to the day and what we live in today. It's a sad decline over the course of my lifetime, for sure.
So you never imagined that praying would be a federal crime with a penalty of 11 years in prison?
No. I always thought praying for our nation is what we were instructed to do. I thought that was what was required for freedom and liberty, is to beseech the favors of God on our land and to reach out to him. And of course, you know, we were praying because our nation has allowed the sinful, atrocious action of abortion and killing unborn children.
Yes.
And so that's ultimately what the Biden DOJ doesn't like.
I think one of the most telling signs of the situation we're in is when Paul Vaughn talked about how many of the top Christian leaders stood up for you when you were being convicted with a felony, raided by the FBI in your home for praying. Well, exactly zero. I'm telling you, the talking heads of Christianity have been captured. They're now woke, they're now working for social justice, and they're enemies of God, and they're enemies of the church that they supposedly run. And when we are attacked one day, and I've said this for years, the attack will come from those pretending to be Christians. That's the people that will be there with the guillotines to get us. And they'll say, we're the real Christians. These people are hateful and evil. So the attack will come from the counterfeit church when it comes, and it's starting to come right now. And they will be silent when Christians are being thrown into prison for praying. It's really shocking. 75 churches and pro-life centers have been burned in 2023, just in 2023. And the Biden administration has pressed zero charges for burning down 75 churches and crisis pregnancy centers. But Paul Vaughn, with his 11 children in his home, gets raided by the FBI, these disgusting, evil people, and now is going to be in prison for years, maybe as many as 11. But I want to close with this. His response when Tucker said, are you scared to go to prison? This needs to be our response. This, listen carefully to what he says. This is someone that is submitted to Jesus Christ, that it knows he is in control and nothing can happen to me without his permission, where you have that peace that passes all understanding. And we're going to need that, because just like what Tucker is getting ready to say here, it's the thing they're most fearful of us, when we don't fear them at all.
How do you feel about the prospect of going to jail for praying?
Well, you know, Tucker, they talk about taking 10 years of my life, potentially. And the reality as a Christian is I've already laid my life down. I fully believe and understand that God is leading me, and that we're here today because of events that are in his control. And if you look at the New Testament, a good majority of the scripture was written from jail. And so if he wants me to go to jail and minister, I'm in his hands. They can't take from me what I willingly lay down. So I'm comfortable there. I understand the reality of it. I don't agree with it. I don't like the injustice. I don't want to give anybody a pass that's being unjust. We want to fight it because we don't want them to do it to other people.
Yes.
But then at the end of the day, God is God, and we're comfortable in his hands.
This is why they're afraid of you. Right there. That's why they're afraid of you.
That's exactly right. That's why every totalitarian in the history of the world has gone after the Christians, because they won't bend the knee to Baal. They say, sorry, you can kill me if you want. And when someone is not afraid of anything, they're hard to deal with, and it's hard to get them to submit to the game you're playing, like they're trying to get everybody to do with the propaganda and the brainwashing and the educational system and Hollywood and the media and all the things, the fifth generation warfare stuff. They know a Christian has renewed his mind and has someone that he is following that is really in control, like they wish they were. And anyway, it's a key for you all to remember that. If we ever have to go the final distance and we are in prison for what we believe or whatever, as America collapses, just know you're not going and I'm not going unless God has a plan in us going, like Romans 8:28 says. And we know that all things work together for good to them who love God and those who are called according to his purpose. So be of good courage, be strong, and fear not, for God is with us. And we just need to, one day at a time, stand for the truth, speak the truth, and live the truth. So when we tell people about Jesus, it makes sense. Thank you so much. I appreciate you. And until next week, God bless you.
Welcome to Agenda Weekly. We invite you to join us for an overview of the news from a conservative Christian perspective. You may be familiar with a weekly video podcast from Curtis Bowers, but Agenda Weekly is much more than that. Every Friday, we provide a written summary of the most important news events from America and around the world. We don't just cover the bad news. We find the often overlooked encouraging stories, because we all need some good news. Additional resources include informative videos and articles to dig deeper, a featured hymn of the week, essential prayer points, and specific actions to take personally and in your community. For only $5 a month, less than a cup of coffee, you can subscribe to receive the most comprehensive news source available. Our goal is to save you time, expose the agenda behind the news, and equip you to make an impact right where you are. Subscribe today at agendaweekly.com.